Hello, everybody. In the United Kingdom, the first year that the NHS was set up, it cost £437 million, or in today's equivalent costs, £15 billion. Within the UK last year, NHS funding budget was a staggering £116.4 billion. Combine that with the private healthcare costs in the UK, then this figure escalates to £140.2 billion. Over the years, I've worked on many hospital schemes as an architect designing healthcare hospitals. The last major hospital that I worked on had a construction cost alone of $2.5 billion. In this end time, when sin is so prevalent in every aspect of life, the levels of sickness are rising year on year in the world, with record numbers of almost every disease seeming to be happening right across the board. And every year, new records seem to be broken with more and more instances of this disease or that illness. People within this end world, at this end time, will spend countless amounts of money in order to get better from illness. As most of us remember, the healing doctrine was one of the first things to be changed by the new administration after Mr. Armstrong died. Physical sin was dismissed, and the new doctrine of there only being spiritual sin was brought into God's church. Through the years since then, moving through different groups which were set up after God's church was shattered, we've all had different experiences within different groups. Stella and I found ourselves one year in a group, and I was given the opportunity to start doing sermonettes. And as is the case now, the outlines of sermonettes were sent to the ministers just to have a quick review beforehand. Well, this one year in the run-up to Unleavened Bread, there were weekly discussions happening about physical sin and spiritual sin. So I thought, I'll do a sermonette on physical sin. So I sent my synopsis or outline of my sermonette to the minister, and it came back with an email saying this is not an appropriate sermonette subject as headquarters are reviewing this and you should prepare another sermonette. And needless to say, Stella and I didn't stay very long with that group. But there is a very simple way to prove that physical sin exists. Jonathan, my eldest son, was climbing a tree a few years back and he fell out. The law of gravity, which is a physical law, states that when boys accidentally fall out of trees, they fall very quickly to the ground. And when they are big lads and land hard on their wrist, the law of gravity says that bones will be broken. But don't worry, Jonathan, you're in good company, because my sister, Mrs. Duke, did a similar thing when she fell off a death slide, or a zip wire for the Americans, many years ago. She did a similar thing. It was a physical law of gravity that was broken. And if anybody can tell me what spiritual sin Jonathan or Sylvia committed when they fell from a height, I'd be most interested to hear it. But physical sin is what causes illness, and it is paid for by Christ's broken body. Turn to Isaiah 53, please. And in Isaiah 53, we read, starting in verse 5, Isaiah 53, verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." And that has a parallel account in 1 Peter 2 and 24, don't turn there, where it says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Christ is the word who spoke, and all things came into existence, as is mentioned in John 1:1. He was the one that spoke to Moses many years ago at this time of year from the burning bush, and the one who humbled Pharaoh through the plagues, the one who parted the Red Sea, through which the Israelites escaped, and which, within which the whole Egyptian army was wiped out. He was the one who was willing to go through the most hideous death for us, so that that penalty for our sins could be paid on our behalf. Christ clearly linked the forgiveness of sin to healing. This Holy Day season we are in started Thursday with the memorial sacrifice of our Saviour, our recommitment of our promise of baptism to live according to his word. The day of unleavened bread represents the coming out of sin, both physical and spiritual, by putting into our lives God's word and eating the unleavened bread of life. So what do I want to look at in this offering announcement? Well, I just want to look at one aspect. God has freely given us blessings of all kinds, including that of healing, and that our offerings should not be payment for any of these free gifts. Simon Magus tried to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit from Peter, and Peter rebuked him in Acts 8:20 and 21, saying, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God." As Mr. Armstrong always says, there are two ways of life, two trees, the way of give, the way of get, the leavened approach and the unleavened approach. The worldly leavened approach, the same approach that Simon Magus had to blessings, is that of buying a blessing, be it a lottery for a quick instant fortune, or to buy favour from someone of influence via bribes, or to pay for healing, as in hospitals, which is something that, unfortunately, they are not able to do. They can patch you up, but they can't heal you. As I said in the introduction, this world pays billions and billions to the God of medicine. But our God, the Creator who designed us, has promised to heal us free of charge. We do not pay for this privilege, and nor should we ever. But this leavened approach is unfortunately not limited to just the God of medicine. From an article I read recently, a televangelist in 2002, and I'll read some aspects from an article, and I'll quote, "The world's most successful faith healer, having received $89 million of donations." That was in 1 year. "Mr. X conducts 24 free events called Miracle Crusades each year, with an attendance average of 50 to 60,000 people. And one event in Kenya drawing 1.2 million worshippers." Further down in the article, there is a section about someone being healed. It was about an 11-year-old boy. Cut into the article. "Mr. X, an arm wrapped around the boy, tells the audience that God has told him to pay for the child's medical expenses and education. And people wept." I'm a little bit confused about a miraculous healing and the requirement for medical expenses to be paid, but we'll ignore that small bit. Further down in the article again, and this is where I just want to focus on this. Another gentleman was there, Mr. Y, I will call him, a Southern Baptist minister from Mississippi, remembers going to a faith healing service as a teenager. Next to him, an elderly man in a wheelchair emptied his wallet into the offering basket, a move that caught the eye of the preacher. Mr. Y recalls the pastor pointing to the man and saying, "Brother, before the night is over, you are going to walk out of here." Mr. Y goes on to recall that this was unfortunately not the case. And then near the end of the article, Mr. X, or the minister of the foundation, "Our supporters support us for one reason. People pray for us for one reason, because of the healing ministry." People were paying for the chance of being healed. That is the leavened approach that the world takes, be it paying hospitals or paying for healing. Now let us look at the unleavened approach, the example that Mr. Armstrong gave us, by looking at the letter that was sent out that accompanied the anointed cloth when we requested an anointed cloth. And this is something that Mr. Bowles will send out as well today. One aspect that underlines this near the bottom: "Do not," in capitals, "under any circumstances send me any money for this healing. It is only right and obeying God's command. to place his tithe as well as your offerings into his work, to give in order that the gospel may be given to thousands of others. Whatever you may send of your tithes and offerings from time to time for us to use in sending the precious message to others is acceptable and right. Excuse me. But you pay nothing for this healing. God gives that to you without money and without price. And it would only bring a curse upon you and me both if you paid me for praying for you, or if I accepted money for that. So we have to ask the question, do we have to do anything at all to receive the promise of healing? Well, nature abhors a vacuum. To empty the air from a glass, you have to put something else in it, like water, or even better, wine. On Thursday at Passover, we recommitted to living a certain way of life. And unleavened bread is the step in the process where we start getting our hearts right in the sight of God. It is about coming out of sin, getting rid of the leavened bread of this world. But we can only do this by putting into our lives the unleavened bread of God's way of life. Turn, please, to Exodus 15. Exodus 15, verse 26. We start reading Start reading in verse 26 of Exodus 15. And he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on which I have brought you, which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. You can read alternative versions of the same promise in many more places within the Word of God. For example, in Proverbs 4:20, we won't turn there, but turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Or Deuteronomy 7, and I'll paraphrase verses 12 to 15. Listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. And further down, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known. In other words, we are commanded to live a way of life, an unleavened way of life, where we strive to remove sin from our life through using the Holy Spirit in us and putting into action God's laws, God's statutes, and God's commandments. There is no other way. There is no way our offering or any offering we give can compare to the sacrifice that our Saviour freely gave by offering himself as the price for which is to be paid for the price of our sin. And we should not even try to outgive God. We must not have the attitude of the man in the wheelchair in the miracle crusades who emptied his wallet into the offering basket to buy his healing. Turn, please, to Micah 6. And we'll just have a look here at the value of offerings. Very well-read scripture at offering times. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? In Micah 6, verse 6. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul? There is absolutely nothing with which we can buy blessings from God. Nothing we can offer even comes close to the value of what was offered by Christ for us. But God says in verse 8, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? So we will now turn to Deuteronomy 16:16, a scripture that I know is child, I always had my finger in there on the offering days because I knew we would turn to it. And I think it's a scripture that you learn very quickly as a child. I learned this one very, very quickly. Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times a year, all of your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, which we are at now, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings the Lord your God, which he has given to you. It is not which he has sold to you. It is freely given to us. So let us take up this commanded offering, not with a leavened heart of trying to buy from God something which is freely given, as Simon Magus tried to. This end time world does not understand that something can be freely given. They try to buy their health. They try to live a way of life that they wish to, with no consequence of laws and the effects of those laws. We are not to try and outgive God, because that is not possible. But we are to take up an offering in an unleavened approach, walking humbly before him. And heeding the voice of our Lord, our God, and doing what is right in his sight. And while the offering is taken up, we will hear some special music which was recorded in 2006. It's Psalm 5, Give Ear Unto My Words, and it is sung by Mrs. Paula Henderson and Mrs. Sylvia Duke.